You're listening to a message from Gateway Fellowship. Be sure to check us out at gatewayfellowship.com.
Launching a brand new series today called The Way of Wisdom. I think it can be well documented that throughout history, man has been in this search for wisdom and for understanding, and it's taken us in all kinds of directions. And in this series, we're going to be looking at what the Bible talks about, what the Bible says about wisdom. What is the way of wisdom? I mean, man's quest can be depicted in an old television show that maybe some of you remember, I Dream a Genie. Have you ever, anyone remember this gal right here? Barbara Eden, who's I Dream a Genie. She's coming up on the screen right now. And there she is right there. How many remember that show? Yeah, and some of us are too young to remember it, but you remember, don't you, that the little genie lived in the bottle and would come out every now and then, kind of give instructions and what to do and which way to go and all that. And Barbara Eden, by the way, is I think this year turned 78 years old, and is probably wiser now than even the character that she depicted, you know. So I Dream of Genie, kind of a picture of our quest for wisdom and understanding. You know, we want to access wisdom that way, just rub the bottle, you know, and out it comes. But for those of us who live in this age, we may not have I Dream of Genie, but you know what we have? Google. We have Google. I mean, honestly, if I were to ask a question, how many of you Googled this week? No, you're raising your hands. See, I think probably maybe 95% of us would raise our hands. We Google for information, don't we? And wisdom and for understanding. This last week, we had an office discussion going on. And the question came up, hey, did you Google that? Did you Google that? Do you know that Google has over 1 million servers throughout the world? And in one day, do you know how many processes of information they handle in one day? People Googling? What would you guess? It's like over a billion requests for information daily. And that billion returns over 7 billion page views. People looking for information and for all kinds of things. And that we not only have Google, you know what else we have? We have Chinese food. Are you with me there? We have Chinese food. It's not the Chinese food good or bad, like it or don't like it, but it's at the end when the lady or the guy brings the bill, and on the little platter, what do we have? Fortune cookies. And we open up the fortune cookies. Now, don't raise your hand. Don't even respond. But how many of us have read that fortune and go, I hope that's true. I hope that's true, man. That's just what the word I was looking for. Let's go for Chinese food. You don't like Chinese food. Yeah, but at the end, there's a fortune cookie. And I mean, some of the little fortune sayings that we read, good news from afar may bring you a welcome visitor. There's some wisdom. How about this one right here? The object of your desire comes closer. Husbands and wives, scoot a little closer together right there. The object of your desire comes closer. How about this one? You will have unexpected great good luck. And man, when we read a fortune like that, we're thinking, man, we hope that's true. Or maybe my favorite, enjoyed the meal, Bob wanted to go too. Now that's wisdom right there from somebody. You know, we're inundated, aren't we, with information. It's an information overload each and every day. And information comes so quick to us, doesn't it? I mean, if you're on Twitter or Facebook or some other social networking, you can give out information so quickly and you can receive information so quickly. We are inundated with information, ideas and thoughts and wisdom from every possible source. It's there. It fills our worlds. It's truly an over-communicated environment that we live in. We can communicate faster. We can receive information faster than anything that we're looking for. But here's what we're talking about. What is the path of wisdom for the follower of Jesus? If you're a follower of Jesus, what is the path of wisdom for you and for me? See, it's one thing to Google how to repair your car. It's one thing to Google about your potatoes like mine. They seem to be growing out of control. So I Googled, you know, what do you do with potatoes that seem to be growing out of control? It's one thing to Google for those types of things. It's another thing to Google or go to man's wisdom for the things in life that really, really matter. So the question we're going to explore today and then over the next number of weeks is, what is the way of man and what's the way of God? What's God say about that? What's the way of wisdom in our life for what you're dealing with right now? And how many times are we pulled this way, which is representative of man's pathway, where we just want to get that quick answer and we just Google it and we just figure out what to do? How many times are we pulled that way? How many times do we find ourselves trapped there and kind of turning away from what God's word says? Or what is our call as a follower of Jesus? You know, Proverbs has a really interesting scripture. It's coming up on the screen. It says this: there's a path before each person that seems right, but it ends in death. Think about that for just a moment. There's a path that seems right, but there is a path that leads to death. Some of us are sitting here today and we're looking to try to understand what it is I need to do right now. What is it that I need to do? I mean, some parents are sitting here going, look, how do I deal with my kids? What is it that I need to do with my student, with my son or my daughter? How do I deal with this situation? How do I raise them? And there are students who will sit in the gatherings today and they're asking the same question about you. How do I deal with my parents? And we're going to be talking about the way of wisdom. And now parents think it's really easy. Obey your parents. That's how you deal with it. Right, but kids are asking the same question. How do I deal with my parents? How do I deal with my marriage? Some of us are asking that question. How do I deal with a broken relationship in my life? Something that's gone bad. It's gone bad between me and my employer, me and my employee. It's gone bad between my sister and my brother or another relationship. So how do I deal with that? What's the way of wisdom? What does Jesus say about that? What about suffering in my life? And some of us are right there today, and we have questions about suffering. How do I deal with suffering in my life, and how do I respond to that? What is the way of wisdom when suffering comes in? That's what we're talking about. And how do I respond to conflict that comes up in my life? And we were all, to be honest, we've been there, and many of us are right there today. Sometimes it feels like it would be so much easier, wouldn't it, to just kind of go to the bottle and just kind of rub the bottle or Google it and get the answer and then just be on our way. But that's the path that ultimately leads to destruction. It's not the way of wisdom that Jesus calls us to. In fact, you have your Bibles, go to Matthew chapter 5 or Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 5 begins one of Jesus' most famous messages, teachings, the Sermon on the Mount. And it's in that message where we learn about so many things dealing with life. The Beatitudes, we learn about discipleship, we learn about relationships, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. We talk about love, and Jesus talks about loving our enemies. He talks about money and possessions, warnings about false prophets, and much more in this Sermon on the Mount when Jesus is teaching. But I want to draw our attention for just a moment to just the last part of Matthew chapter 7, the last bit of that message. When Jesus says this, it's coming up on the screen. Anyone who listens to my teaching and does what? Follows. Everybody say follows. It is what? Wise. And then he goes on and he kind of draws this picture, gives us this kind of this word picture. He says, like a person who builds a house on a solid rock. That's why I thought it was interesting what Mario said about his kids had drawn this picture and said, you're the rock. Like a person who builds a house on a solid rock, though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against the house, it won't collapse because it's built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey is foolish. So we have, what's the opposite of wise? Foolish. Like a person who builds a house on sand, when the rains and the floods come with the wind and the winds beat against the house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. Jesus is just saying this: if you listen to my teachings and you follow them, then you'll be wise. That's the pathway to wisdom. And then he draws this picture. He says, it's like this house is built on a solid rock. I don't know how many times since the grocery store up here started building, I've just stopped and looked at what they're doing. And all the infrastructure and all the building that's going on underground to maintain the structure. That's the picture that Jesus gives us. If you listen to my teaching and you follow them, then you're wise. The teaching of Jesus is very specific, with no wiggle room at all. If you want to be wise, what do? You follow his teachings. You follow his ways. Not the teachings, or not the tug towards modern man or man's wisdom. It's to his ways and his wisdom ways. It's walking in his wisdom ways. And I'll be using that term over and over and over. Luke reads this way, same passage. I will show you what it's like when someone comes to me, listens to my teaching, and then follows it. And then he says, it's like a person building a house who digs down deep and lays a foundation on solid rock. When the floodwaters rise and break against the house, it stands firm because it is well built. But then Luke goes on, he says, but anyone who hears and doesn't obey is like a person who builds a house without a foundation. When the floods sweep down against the house, it will collapse into a heap of ruins. So the picture that we have here is this. We're all building. We're building on the rock, or we're building on the sand. And here's what we also know. The rains and the floods do come. If you're alive for any amount of time, you know that life happens and things come into your life that sometimes really shake us and really rattle us. And Jesus says, if you just follow my teachings, when that happens, you'll remain firm. You'll remain solid. The rains will come. The flood waters will rise. But this is what will happen if you choose to build on his teachings. If you don't, then the opposite happens. You see, there's this radical choice. And Jesus says, here are the two positions. They're builders in the house. Here's the rock, here's the sand. But here's the interesting thing, is that each house, think about, looks secure in good weather. If you look at both those homes, in good weather, they look the same. It's just when the rains come and when the floods come that there's a change. Only storms reveal the quality of the work of the two builders. And there's not a person here today who hasn't or maybe isn't facing some type of trial, some type of struggle, maybe suffering, or some type of a decision, something that has come into your life. So what wisdom consists of is clear. A wise person represents those who puts Jesus' words into action, who follows his way. They're building to withstand anything in life. Those who pretend to have faith who have merely an intellectual commitment, or those who enjoy Jesus in small doses, I'll explain that in just a moment, can be considered like foolish builders. What does it look like to enjoy Jesus in quote-unquote small doses? It's kind of like the Jesus, we kind of treat him this way, kind of like the genie in the bottle. So we'll go to Jesus when there's a need. And we kind of get the answer, we go put him back in there and go and walk away and continue with life. And then something comes up and what do? We rush back over here and we go, Jesus, I just need you for just a few minutes here. Now, just give me this, put you back in there and I'll kind of walk back on, continue with life. That's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is walking consistently and daily in his wisdom ways, making them a part of our lives. Anyone who listens to my teachings and follows them is wise. So do you want to be wise? Follow the teachings of Jesus. Do you want to know how to relate to one another? When there's a struggle there, follow the teachings of Jesus. Do you want to know how to deal with a difficult situation in life, whatever it is you might be facing right now or tomorrow or weeks or months ahead? Follow the teachings of Jesus. Go to the Word. Go to the Bible. Do you want to know how to have the best marriage ever? Go to the Bible. We've been married 40 years. I've discovered I know less maybe about marriage today than I thought I did, you know, when I got married. Want to know more about marriage? Go to the Bible. Want to have the best marriage ever? Go to the Bible. Follow the teachings of Jesus. If you want to know how it all ends And some of us want to know, where do you go? You go to the Bible and you walk in his wisdom ways. If you want to know about suffering, you go to the Bible. You want to know how to deal with conflict, walk in his wisdom ways. It's a way of wisdom. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach. And that word teach literally means just to instruct, useful to instruct us or to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and then equip his people to do every good work or to live. Now, if I were to ask you, how many of us want to be happy? I think we would all raise our hands, because no one lives to live a sad life. There isn't anyone here, when we get up in the morning, we go, look, I think I want to be sad. I think my goal in life is to kind of live a dismal life. That's not our goal. That's not our purpose. That's not even what we want to do. Here's what Proverbs says, that happiness for the follower of Jesus is walking in his wisdom ways. If you want to be happy, you're a follower of Jesus. We walk in his wisdom ways. Proverbs 3:13. Joyful is the person who finds wisdom, the one who gains understanding. Joyful is the person who finds wisdom, the one who gains understanding. Listen to Proverbs chapter 24, verses 13 and 14. My child, eat honey, for it's good. And the honeycomb is sweet to the taste. In the same way, wisdom is sweet to your soul. That's what the Bible says. If you find it, you will have a bright future, and your hopes will not be cut short. In other words, by wisdom, you can live your life and make your way into a bright future filled with hope. That's what godly biblical wisdom leads to. So in our search for wisdom, which direction do we go? Do we go this direction that ultimately leads us toward man's way? Or do we go this way? Are we seekers of God's wisdom and God's truth in everyday life? You go, well, the situation I'm facing today, I don't find it in the Bible. We're going to be talking about that in just a few moments, because God's Holy Spirit will quicken our hearts and quicken our minds and lead us in the right path. We'll talk about that, and I'll share with you an example. But what does the way of wisdom look like? What's it look like in your life, and what's it look like in my life? Just let me share with you two quick things here. Number one, wisdom is walking in the fear of the Lord. Now, for some of us, when we talk about the fear of the Lord, we go like, yeah, that's God just getting ready to, as soon as we make a misstep, boom, he just hammers us. That's not what we're talking about. That's not the fear of the Lord that the Bible talks about, but wisdom is walking in the fear of the Lord. It's marked with a fear of God. Psalm 111 verse 10, fear of the Lord is the foundation of true wisdom. All who obey his commandments will grow in wisdom. So Jesus, back to Matthew chapter 7, talked about what? Talked about the foundation. Fear of the Lord is the foundation of true wisdom. All who obey his commandments will grow in what? Will grow in wisdom. So it begins with fear of the Lord. A mark of wisdom is walking, following hard after God, and doing so in the fear of the Lord. Now, I like the way one author puts it when we talk about fear. I think it will help some of us understand it just a little bit better, what this fear of God means, what fear of the Lord means. Fearing the Lord means fearing to run away from him. That is, what is life away from him like? It means fearing to seek refuge and joy and hope anywhere other than God. It's fearing to go of going man's way. It means keeping before our eyes what a fearful prospect it is to stop trusting and depending on God to meet our needs. The fear of the Lord is, therefore, the beginning of wisdom, not only in the sense that it is the first step in a wise way to live, but also in the sense that all the later characteristics of wisdom flow from the fear of the Lord like a river flows from a spring. As we walk in his wisdom ways in all of life, we learn again and again and again that it's in Christ, it's in Jesus, that all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden. Read about that in Colossians chapter 3. As we walk in his wisdom ways, as we run to him, as we seek hard to follow him, what we find is that God leads us and directs us in every way. The Bible, Proverbs chapter 11, teaches that humility and wisdom are closely connected. Just think about it. Humility and wisdom are closely connected. The wise person is characterized by humility. I'm going to share with you an example of that in just a moment. The proud person, or that person who doesn't fear the Lord, said, look, I can do this on my own. Who runs away from him rather than to him, cannot discover wisdom. So what direction are you headed today? This way or this way? Because this way represents pride. This way represents humility, walking hard after God. And a prideful person that depends upon himself or herself or man's ways, the Bible says, is a disgrace. The person who fears the Lord is a humble person who depends on God for everything and does not take credit. We are open and we're teachable and we're open to change, unlike the proud person. So where are you today? What is it that you're seeking today? And which direction do you find yourself headed? So walking in wisdom is walking in the fear of the Lord. Secondly, wisdom consists of walking in obedience. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Verses 5 and 6 says this. Look, I now teach you these decrees and regulations. So wisdom is walking in obedience. Just as the Lord my God commanded me, so that you may obey them in the land you are about to enter and occupy. Obey them completely. Now listen to this. And you will display your wisdom and intelligence amongst the surrounding nations. As you walk in God's wisdom ways, as we obey him, as we walk in obedience, you will display your wisdom, that is God's wisdom through you, and intelligence among the surrounding nations. People will recognize that you are walking hard after him, that you're walking in obedience. It's more than just listening to, it's doing. Moms and dads, you know, or if you're in a supervisor role, parent role, it's one thing to talk and be listened to. But how many times have we said to our kids, look, I don't want you to just listen to me. I want you to do what? Do what I tell you to do. Do what I teach you to do. It's more than listening. It's doing. Now, when it comes to wisdom and seeking wisdom, the Bible says this in James chapter 1, verse 5. If you need wisdom, then do what? Ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. If you need wisdom for whatever it is that you're dealing with right now, we ask God. We go to him, we seek him, and our generous God will give it to you. But my situation is not in the Bible. Have you sought God? See, this practical know-how was experienced by Solomon, a very wise man that maybe you have heard his name mentioned along with wisdom, because he has a request. And he goes to God and he says this, now, O Lord my God, you have made me king instead of my father David. But I'm like a little child who doesn't know his way around. We're talking about humility. Now, I don't know how many times you've been there, but I find myself there a lot. God, I just don't know what to do. Man, I'm like a little child that doesn't know his way around, and I need you. And you've done that too. Pray that you have. And Solomon says, oh, Lord, my God, you have made me a king instead of my father, David. But I'm like a little child who doesn't know his way around. In other words, I don't know what to do. I don't know what the next step is. I don't know which direction to turn. I don't know if I should go this way or if I should go this way. That's where some of us are today. God, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do in this relationship. I don't know if I should take this job or say no here or say yes here. I don't know what to do. I don't know which step to take. And that's where we find ourselves. And here I am in the midst of your own chosen people, a nation so great and numerous, they cannot be counted. Then he says this, here's his request. Give me an understanding heart so that I can govern your people well and know the difference between right and wrong. For who by himself is able to govern this great people of yours? You see what he's saying? Who can do this, God? Now remember James chapter 1? If we need wisdom, if we lack wisdom, we ask a generous God. The Lord responded. God responded. The Lord is pleased that Solomon had asked for wisdom. So God replied, because you have asked for wisdom in governing my people with justice and have not asked for a long life or wealth or the death of your enemies, I will give you what you ask for. I will give you a wise and understanding heart so no one else, as no one else has ever asked for or has ever had. Now, when Solomon made that request to the Lord, I doubt very much he knew what was coming up. Because just in a few verses, he is faced with a situation of, do I go this way or do I go this way? What do I do now? Because not long after that request, and God said that to him, two prostitutes came to the king and they had an argument. And they were going to settle this argument. And they say this, please, my lord, one of them began, this woman, I live in the same house. I gave birth to a baby while she was with me in the house. 3 days later, this woman also had a baby. So you kind of get the picture there, right? We were all alone. There were only two of us in the house. But her baby died during the night when she rolled over on it. Then she got up in the night and took my son beside me while I was asleep. She laid her dead child in my arms and took mine to sleep beside her. And in the morning, when I tried to nurse my son, and he was dead. And when I looked more closely in the morning, like I saw that it wasn't my son at all. Now, put yourself in the king's spot. What are you going to do? The other woman interrupted, it certainly was your son, and the living child is mine. No, the first woman said, the living child is mine, the dead one is yours. And so they argued back and forth before the king. You're there, okay? Then the king said, let's get the facts straight. Both of you claim the living child is yours, and each says that the dead one belongs to the other one. All right, bring me a sword, so I'll cut the baby in half. You can each have a half. And we know how the story goes, right? And pretty soon, one of the mothers cries out, said, no, don't do that. The other one says, yeah, do that. And the king says, well, you're the mother. And suddenly he was granted this wisdom. But listen to what happened. When all Israel heard the king's decision, the people were in awe of the king, for they saw, guess what? The wisdom of God that he had given him in rendering justice. If you lack wisdom, ask our generous God. See, the key point here is that there was no biblical command or direction to tell the king what to do in this particular case. I mean, you have situations, you have circumstances, you're going to look at, well, where's the Bible say to do that? Well, here's the deal. Bible gives us wisdom, and His Holy Spirit gives us wisdom. And when He speaks to you, when He speaks to me, we know it's the voice of God. If we're following hard after Him, and we're seeking to walk in His wisdom ways, and we're doing as James chapter 1, verse 5 says, we ask God for wisdom. He will give it to us. He will lead us in the way of wisdom. Now, very quickly, I'm just going to answer the question, how do we get wisdom? And it's kind of a roadmap for where we're going in the next number of weeks. Number one, wisdom is gained as we apply ourselves to the study and the discovery of God in the Bible. That's why we talk about the Bible here at Gateway. That's why we give out Bibles, because God is discovered. His way is discovered in the Bible. It's His way. This represents man's way. Are you devoted to discovering God in the Bible? So I encourage you, read the Bible. Get into a Bible reading program. Go to the book of Job. 2 weeks from today, next week, I have the privilege of introducing our new student pastor. You're going to hear from him. Mark and Reese Miller will be joining our staff. And then we start in the book of Job. And we're going to learn a lot about wisdom in the book of Job. We're going to be talking about suffering. We're going to talk about when friends come. We're going to be talking about being the right friend and speaking wisdom into other people's lives. We'll be talking about the book of Job, 42 chapters. Start reading it. God is discovered in the Bible. Then we'll be going to Psalms. And another series, we'll be looking at a couple of the other wisdom books, Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. But wisdom is gained as we apply ourselves to the study of and the discovery of God in the Bible. Secondly, and very quickly, the call to wisdom, biblical wisdom, is a call to follow Jesus. That's what it comes down to. Are you following hard after Him? Have you devoted your life to follow Him? It's not like going to the bottle every now and then. It's following hard after Jesus. We discussed this passage in our one of our staff meetings recently, Mark chapter 1. One day as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew throwing a net into the water, for they had fished for a living. Jesus called out to them, "Come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people." And they left their nets at once, and they followed him. The call to biblical wisdom is a call to follow Jesus. And for some of us, here's what that means. We stop what we're doing. They put their nets down, and they turned, and they followed him. For many of us today, here's what Jesus is saying. Stop what you're doing. Stop seeking other ways of wisdom. Stop seeking man's way of wisdom. You're dealing with a problem. You're dealing with a situation. You're struggling in some area. Stop this and start this. Follow hard after Jesus, and he will show you the way. Let's stand together, shall we? I'm going to pray. There's a question coming up on the screen, and it's this. What one area of your life can you stop Googling and start looking to God? Just think about that. Let me say it this way. What one area in your life can you begin to let go and then start seeking God? Where is it in your life that you need to stop this and start this? Maybe it's with the raising of your children. Maybe some of you have that strong-willed child and you're thinking, "Dear God, why can't he be like her or she be like him?" Listen, I raised a compliant child, and then God blessed us with a strong-willed child. Secondly, and there were some times, you know, I think God's way was to kill him. Are you with me? You see, some of us need to start going to God. Going, "Look, dear Jesus, I need help here." Some of us are struggling with our employer or our employee or a sister or a brother or another relationship. And we've been trying to work it out. And what we need to do is we need to drop to our knees and say, "God, I need your wisdom." Can we just lift that to him and say, "Jesus, I just pray you'd speak to each one of us today. God, there's that tendency sometimes to go this pathway that leads us away from you. But God, you called us to place our trust and our faith in you, and you, God, would lead us. It's the way of wisdom that you called us to." And so right now, what is it that you can just give to him? What relationship, what circumstance, what situation, what decision might you be facing today, right now? Say, "God, I need your wisdom. And you said, if I would just seek you, you would speak to me. God, I pray that you would do that. Reveal it in your word. Reveal it through your Holy Spirit, like you did for Solomon. Speak to us. And God, we will know when you speak to us, because it's your Holy Spirit." And so, Lord, I pray for each one today. Lord, I pray that as we seek hard after you, as you show us your way, we'll be faithful and we'll be obedient to walk in it. And others will see it's not us, but it's you. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. Now, if you're a guest with us today, I'm in the lobby, and I just like hope to meet you. Also, if you're here, and we talk about following Jesus, you go, "What? I'm just not sure what that's all about. I'm not sure what that's all about. I have questions about it." I'm in the lobby. Others will be in the lobby. Can we just connect? I will tell you, if you place your trust and your faith in him, he will show you the way to go. Amen? God bless you. Have a great day. See you next Sunday.
Find out more about Gateway Fellowship or our terms of use, check us out at gatewayfellowship.com.